Welcome back. It was another intriguing week of college football last weekend. Welcome to the Bun Sports Show. My name is Jacob Bun, along, as always, with David Sears.
What's up, Bun?
Boy, I tell you, I don't know where to start first, talking about the
SEC. How about LSU's Les Miles calls a timeout, only has 10 people on the field, mass chaos ensues, and he cannot get a fourth down play off.
Well, he was trying to imitate his good buddy Derek Dooley at Tennessee, because I mean he did the same thing in the LSU Tennessee game.
Yeah, but you got to remember he was on the offense and he was trying to come out of a timeout with a play, and he doesn't come out with an organized play. It's Lester Miles for you. But Auburn looked very, very powerful. They probably should have won by a lot more.
Yeah, Auburn looked really good.
The LSU punter that was the MVP of the game for LSU, he was able to pin Auburn deep and prevent them from having a big field. So,
well, we talked about last week, could Auburn, I mean, you know, they have a weak defense and LSU has a weak offense, so that was pretty much a trade. Could Auburn play with their offense against LSU's defense? Who would win? And obviously, as we saw on the 49-yard touchdown run, it was Cam Newton who once again showed his brilliance.
Cam Newton, I mean, he's locked up the Heisman. He's
locked
got it
up
all.
As long as he stays upright.
And unless something drastic happens, I definitely think they're going to go all the way.
All the way to what?
All the way. National title. I think their offense is good enough.
Sears, we have a month to hype this game. We don't need to. We don't need to just shut it down right now. You're paid. I mean, you're going way over on the assumption line by
it's
saying
it's not
that.
An assumption. It's fact. Auburn's offense is ridiculously awesome. The worst they've played is against Mississippi State and LSU, and they still found ways to win. The defense made plays when they had to. That defense is it's the weak link for the team, but it is still good enough to shut down people when they need to. Fairley's come on like a beast. He will probably be the first player in the history of the league to be defensive player of the year and most improved player of the year in the same thing. He's just become a beast in the middle all of a sudden. Now,
folks, we have 30 days before the Iron Bowl.
I'm not even going to play the Iron Bowl if I'm Alabama. There's no way you can even compete with Auburn.
Are you saying right here, right now, that if the game was played tomorrow, that Auburn would win that football game?
Auburn would win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Interesting stuff from David Sears. Yeah, I wrote about it in my column yesterday. Auburn looks very impressive, and we'll get to the Iron Bowl. It'll come, but
I don't even know why they're playing it.
Well, there's a reason why it's at the end of November, and as every great person who's played the game or coached in the game has said, I mean, a lot can happen in 1 month of play. But anyway, Auburn won that game last week against LSU 24-17. Moving on now to face the Ole Miss Rebels in Oxford, and we'll get to talk about that game. It may be a little tricky. You never want to play
the number one team.
Houston Nutt's team
has lost the past 3 weeks on the road. Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. Now, of course, Alabama, Ohio State were AP and Oklahoma was BCS, but still, the one that matters.
If it was BCS, it would have been BCS.
Yes.
So if the BCS would have been out, it would have been BCS. I mean, that's only because the BCS doesn't come out until that next week. But you're right. Another week. And Oregon plays on, well, okay, they're both AP number one, so Oregon plays on the road at USC, so we could have the AP loser.
They're AP and NC and
we
USA
have both.
Today.
I know. We could have both.
Number ones go down. I seriously doubt it. USC has no defense. And
we had Bruce Feldman on last week, and he said that he didn't think that.
Papa Kiffin has struggled matching up with the spread offense.
Right,
see,
he's got a week off.
See last year with Dexter McClester and Ole Miss, how they ran roughshod all over Tennessee's vaunted defense.
Well,
speaking of Tennessee,
let's move on now to Alabama.
If they could just play
Tennessee games
for a half,
yeah,
they'd do so much better.
Well, Mark Ingram reestablished himself, but more than that, Julio Jones had a terrific game.
And I want to address this thing right now. What is this chemistry rumor that is going around saying that Julio Jones and Greg McElroy are buttonheads? How? Greg is always going to Julio first. If he had a serious issue with Julio, he would not throw him the ball. He had over 160 yards from Greg McElroy in the first half, or well, during Greg's playing time. With he had 10 receptions for 169 yards, and then McCarron comes in, throws that deep bomb, and then one other pass, and he had 12 catches for 221 yards. I seriously doubt that if they have a chemistry issue, it is going to affect them in a big way, because I think they're both professional enough to say, hey, we may not like each other, but we're going to get the job done on the football field. So all this garbage out there saying there's a chemistry issue between McElroy and Jones, it's garbage. It's absolute garbage. I'd like to stray stronger words, but this is a PG radio show, my friends.
Well, I mean, you worried about that going into the season, though. Are there too many egos on that team? You have Julio Jones, the outstanding receiver, certainly going to go pro after this year. Greg McElroy.
It's not set in stone. Remember, the NFL labor.
Well, that's true. That's the other factor. And you got Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson, two outstanding running backs in the backfield. So this offense, you have a lot of
talent. Lot of playmakers, and so, that could lead to that. However, Julio is always trying to be the featured receiver. We know that. He's always the main option, and then they'll check down to Hanks or Marquise Mays. So Julio is the big play threat. We definitely saw him do that against Tennessee.
Well, I thought it was interesting. I don't know. I can't remember where I heard this, but talking about when A.J. McCarron entered the game, the first thing Julio Jones did was went over to A.J. McCarron and
it was the sideline reporter, Holly Rowe. He pushed away whoever was catching McCarron, and he was wanted to catch McCarron so he could get used to the way McCarron throws the ball.
And I tell you, he got used to it because A.J. McCarron threw an absolutely perfect strike to him across the middle.
Just threw that deep ball.
And it was about a 30-40-yard pass. Yeah. But you're wanting to make it loud and clear that you're squelching any rumors that there is a chemistry issue. Is that what you're saying?
That is the rumor that's going around, and I'm saying right now there is no chemistry issue. They're big enough to put it behind them to win the game, because they all know, and they're all smart about this, their draft status. If they have chemistry issues and there's that rumor that surrounds them, and that can affect their draft status. Well, Julio puts it behind him. They work it out. He has a monster game. I definitely think he'll have another monster game against LSU. We'll get to see him line up one-on-one with Patrick Peterson. It's going to be a good, good competition. And we'll get it'll be NFL talent versus NFL talent.
Yeah, Patrick Peterson is definitely one of the best cover corners in the nation. And I'll tell you, Gary Danielson didn't say this on the air, and he admitted this on Feinbaum yesterday, but he wanted to, and I said it. In the environment in which I watched the game, when LSU did the receiver's name escapes me, but when they did the toss end zone pass, I believe it was it to Randall or was it to Russell Shepard?
I think it was Reuben Randall.
Okay, they did the flea flicker, the toss in the end zone. I said they have a three quarterback system now. You got Jarrett Lee, you got Jordan Jefferson, and then
they tossed it to the fullback who was a quarterback in high school. Yeah, I remember talking about now.
And that was, I mean, let's be honest, that was LSU's biggest offensive play of the day.
LSU, I guarantee you, will not lose this weekend either.
LSU had one of the teams as the from the South Carolina game to the end of the season for Alabama having an off week before playing Crimson Tide.
Even Georgia State.
Even Georgia State has an off week. And you tell you what, you give Bill Curry a week to prepare.
You can't even say that with a straight face.
Ole Miss once again showed up for, well, they played this game three times. I mean, let's be honest, they had three weather delays and a halftime break, so you had a quadruple header like in baseball.
And by Mallett, the time it Mallett was, still doesn't want to finish a game.
No, 10 people were remaining in the stands by the time the clock actually hit zero, but Arkansas able to get the win 38-24. I mean, it was a blasé game, nothing really to say there.
Vanderbilt hung with the South Carolina Gamecocks, which was my upset
three and a half
special.
Quarters.
I said they'd do it, and then typical
let's
Vandy.
Let's get out the notes here.
Typical
Sears.
Vandy
what
fashion.
What upsets did you pick last week? Huh?
I had Oregon losing to UCLA.
Yeah,
because I thought UCLA would actually show up to play a game.
Well, they're starting quarterback.
Silly me. How silly of me thinking Rick Neuheisel would have his team up to play the number one team in the polls. Wow. Excellent. Who knew that? Thursday night, national TV. Everyone's going to be watching the game. Yeah, I would come out and say, you know what, guys? Let's just lay an egg.
We both nailed the Arkansas. You picked LSU, and I picked Auburn.
I really thought LSU's defense would be able to contain Cam Newton, but, man, Cam's just probably the best player ever in the history of college football.
We both squeaked by with our pick of Mississippi State over UAB, but I knew it was going to be – I mean, man.
I really thought Mississippi State was just going to blow them out.
Yeah. 29-24. And
but you got to love UAB. We're going to get the ball. We have a chance to win the game. All we got to do is just get the ball. We'll have our offense fumble the kickoff after Mississippi State hits the field goal. Mississippi State recovers, and that's why UAB is UAB.
Yeah, once again, UAB shows up and is itself. Great job there by Vanderbilt hanging with South Carolina for 3.5 quarters, but in the end, Statesboro. But you know, I think you were right on your pick there. I don't disagree with your pick, even though you got it wrong. I think that was, to me, that was the bigger upset challenge for South Carolina than Kentucky was. You come off that big emotional win of Alabama, then everybody thinks you're going to have a letdown against Kentucky, which they ended up in the second half having. But I thought the biggest one was going to be Vanderbilt because nobody would be expecting them to lose that game.
And Vanderbilt played well. I was slipping back and forth between Bama, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt, South Carolina, especially when Vanderbilt was up 7-0 in the fourth quarter. Oh, I'm sorry, they were tied 7-7 in the fourth quarter. I was like, wow, Vandy may actually pull this off. And I really thought Vandy did it, but, you know, Vanderbilt, typical Vanderbilt, will play it close for 3.5 quarters and fall apart in the fourth.
No question about it. Well, let's move on to next week, and we will, of course, predict these games. Vanderbilt plays at Arkansas. Arkansas's, I mean, they've only lost two games, and they're to the top two teams in the league, Alabama and Auburn. Do they lose to Vanderbilt, or do they hold their own?
I think they can sit Ryan Mallett for this game and just run roughshod. Vanderbilt will not be able to contain the Arkansas offense. I like Vandy winning big, 49-10.
Big spread there for the SEC. You know, I was looking at margin of victory, and you know what the lowest margin of victory of the interconference games, and this is in the last 10 years, and the qualification is they have to play at least 10 games, which means it'll be within the division. They wouldn't have or it could be a every
permanent
year.
Rival.
Yeah. You know what the lowest game was?
What?
Tennessee, South Carolina.
That doesn't surprise me because they've gone to overtime the past couple of years.
Yeah, very, very low. I think it was 89 was the margin of victory between those two.
But.
But
this is Derek Dooley's Tennessee team, not Lane Kiffin. I'm going to say South Carolina in a romp. All they got to do is give the ball to Lattimore. I don't think anything will be able to prevent Lattimore from running roughshod all over that Tennessee defense. I mean, we saw they don't really have a secondary. Julio Jones put up a school record 221 yards against them. You've got their defense just looking like garbage the second half against Alabama. Alabama, the only reason they didn't score every possession is because they went for it on fourth down and just ran it straight up the middle.
And missed the field goal in the first half.
And missed the field goal, yeah.
Kentucky, the Wildcats coming off of a very bizarre, I mean, you talk about weird. This game in Lexington, Georgia was blowing them out. And I turned it back to the Alabama game, turned it back, and Kentucky was
only down two touchdowns,
and they ended up losing by 13. What do you think is going to be the story as they travel to Starkville to play the 21st-ranked BCS Mississippi State Bulldogs?
Speaking of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, there is a scenario that my brain concocted while I was asleep.
You sleep?
I do. It's amazing. Mississippi State is still eligible to win the SEC West. It'll take some help, but...
Well, explain it to us, please.
I had a dream.
I'm sure a lot of people want to know how this
I know. I had a dream in which the Mississippi State Bulldogs played the South Carolina Gamecocks for the SEC championship in Atlanta, and the SEC officials wept hard. But Mississippi State upset Alabama.
Mike Slive is calling in on line one if you want to get it.
Mississippi State upset Alabama. Auburn loses to Georgia, and Alabama beats Auburn, we have 3 2-loss teams. LSU, of course, is going
to
fall
Auburn
apart.
Would have to lose.
No. If you have a three-way tie, Bama beating Auburn, Auburn beating Mississippi State, Mississippi State beating Bama, they all have 2 conference losses.
Yeah, but in that scenario, Alabama would have the tiebreaker.
Over Auburn. Because they each have 2 conference losses.
But they would have the tiebreaker, period.
Not necessarily.
Because I thought it was predicated on West and East losses.
When you get into the conference tiebreaker stuff, it is very difficult. I think it comes down to who is ranked highest in the BCS, and that's who gets to go. But we'll see.
And you think Mississippi State
would be
ranked highest in the BCS?
I'm just saying. It was a dream. Not saying it's going to happen. But I had a dream with Mississippi State versus South Carolina. And if that occurs, you heard it first here on bunsports.com.
Well, it's an interesting concept. I just don't know.
I really think Mississippi State has 2 tough games left with Bama the 13th and then Arkansas. Outside of that, I think they can win out easily.
Mississippi State?
Well,
they have – I mean, yeah, you don't just – I mean – and I mean this in a serious way. You don't waltz into Tuscaloosa and come out with a victory against an Alabama team that's already lost. All right, here is the tiebreaker scenario. If you have 3 or more teams, let's see, this was updated 2009. Once the tie has been reduced to 2 teams, then obviously they go to the
how do they reduce it to
head-to-head format.
How do they reduce it to 2 teams?
But they take, the combined head-to-head record among the tied teams. Record of the tied teams within the division is 3rd. So, let's see, combined head-to-head record would be obviously what ties them, so I don't understand why that. So the 3rd choice is the record of the tied teams within the division. So that would be...
Alabama would be 4-1 in the division in that scenario because they would have lost to Mississippi State but beaten everybody else.
Mississippi State would have lost 2 in the division.
So would Auburn.
So Alabama would go.
No, Mississippi State beat them head-to-head, so Mississippi State would go.
So then it would be reduced to Mississippi State and Auburn, and Auburn would have the head-to-head.
Ah.
So Auburn and Alabama, so Alabama would have the head-to-head.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway,
we'll find some way.
But that's an interesting concept. It could happen. It could happen, but the way I think is that Auburn has to lose to
3 times.
Ole Miss, Georgia, and then Alabama, and you know it could happen, but I doubt it will.
I doubt that. I mean, Auburn's going to win the national championship, so Auburn will be getting their ring they should have gotten in 2004. They'll get it this year in that, what is it, 43 year drought? But you know, Auburn's going to do it this year. They've got that special magic. Nothing will derail them. No, Cam's not going to get injured. Fairley's not going to get injured. They're just going to run roughshod over the SEC, and we will say they're the greatest SEC team in the history of the SEC.
Let's talk about that game. It's a great segue into it. Auburn at Ole Miss, 5 o'clock Central from Oxford Grove, party central of the world. Mr. Sears, what do you say on the prediction of this game?
I'm going to say the mighty Auburn Tigers beat the Rebel Black Bears.
Give me a score.
35-13.
I mean, you're saying there's no flaw in Cam whatsoever.
No flaw.
Ever.
He can't lose. He can beat you through the air. He can beat you through the ground. He's the greatest player in college football history.
You know, I had someone ask me the other day, and I'd forgotten about this. I had someone ask me the other day, are you going to stick with your prediction about the Auburn? I said, what do you mean? Of course, I picked LSU. I picked them to beat LSU. And they said, no. Are you going to stick with your prediction over Ole Miss? And I had said, oh, that's right. I did predict Auburn would lose to Ole Miss before the season. Well, I'm going to stick with that prediction. After looking at it, I think Auburn loses this game. I think Cam has a decent game, but I think Ole Miss is able to exploit their secondary. Ole Miss defensive line is very, very underrated. It's underappreciated because Ole Miss is such a bad team.
You are undervaluing Cam Newton.
But I think Ole Miss, I think Houston Nutt, you know, we all said it. We said it before the season. We've said it many times. He has 1 in him a year. I think he gets it right here. 35-28, Black Bears.
Well, you got to remember, though, looking back at it, the past 3 years, Houston Nutt has been a coach in the SEC. 2007, upset LSU on the road, top 10 team. 2008, upsets Florida on the road, top 10 team. Mm-hmm. 2009, the horrible clock management by Les Miles gives him a victory over another top 10 team. So he's beaten three top 10 teams the past 3 years. This is his last shot, because I don't see LSU getting back in the top 10 after they lose to Alabama next week.
All right, finally, the game of the week. Florida playing at Georgia. We can say it here.
World's largest outdoor cocktail party.
In case you haven't heard, it's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
The world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
I'm going to let you go first. Drinking one right now.
All right. I say we will see strength versus strength in this. Georgia's offense versus Florida's defense, and then we'll see weakness versus weakness with that horrendous Florida offense versus that horrendous Georgia defense. I think the mighty Georgia Bulldogs win a close one. I'm going to say 31-28 Georgia. I'm sorry. That's too many points. How about we do 17-14 Georgia?
All right. Interesting pick, 17-14. I think that's reasonable. I like that. I like Florida in this one. Believe it or not, after an off week, I think they're going to come out and physically crush Georgia. I think Georgia's soft to begin with. I don't like the way they play. I know they've beaten up on Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky. There is nothing special about them. And, oh, yeah, Florida beat up on Kentucky pretty bad earlier in the season. So I just don't see any great wonder in what they are doing. I don't know why everybody's back on the bandwagon. I like Florida in this one by 14, 24 to 10.
It'll be interesting.
Well, really quickly, I want to say that if you have a topic you want to discuss, and I've had a few people email me this week, we'll be glad to discuss it here. Obviously, during football season, we're a little full, but you know, after football season moves on and we have a little less topics, we'll be glad to. So, you know, email me or email you don't know Sears' email, but just send us an email and we'll be glad to discuss that, because ultimately the show is yours. But for Jacob Bunn, David Sears, my upset of the week has already been said. I mean, I'm taking the Rebel Ole Miss, Black Bears.
The Rebel Black Bears. That's so weird. Why, if you're gonna get rid of the Rebel, old Colonel Rebel, why keep the name Rebel in the name? Rebel Black Bears.
Are they just going to make Black Cam Bears Newton rebelling athletic director? Against?
They should. I'm going to say my upset of the week will be the Missouri Tigers over Nebraska, because Missouri is the underdog against Nebraska.
Yeah, Sears, that does not count. I mean, you get burned so bad last week, you're coming back this week with a higher-ranked team as an upset.
It's an upset. Right. Are we going by the points,
Well, Ben? Sure, we can, yeah. All right, Missouri over Nebraska is what you say, and there's no way that's going to happen. Nebraska, the truth is it's hard to win on the road this year. I mean, it's true, and you know, obviously the ones are getting beat, but what about everybody else? I mean, Alabama, they went on the road. They're number one, of course. But look around the SEC. It's harder to win. You see more teams losing on the road. I just don't see Missouri able to pull it out in Nebraska. And Michigan State better be very careful going into Iowa City.
How'd your Air Force over TCU pick do, Mr. Oh, you're going to start getting me for my upset pick?
They'll do it. We'll be back next week. Another edition of the Bun Sports Show. No, it was bad. Air Force, I saw them against Oklahoma. I thought they had something, apparently. Maybe that was the problem. Oklahoma was just bad to begin with. And Air Force certainly didn't show up against TCU. But maybe TCU is good. I don't know. We'll never get a chance to see how good Boise and TCU and Utah are, because they're not going to play anybody legitimate, especially Boise.
TCU is going to play Utah. Utah's going to play TCU.
Like I said, we'll never get a chance to see how good these teams are, because they're never going to play anybody. They both played Oregon State. Oh, okay. Be back next week.